Well, good morning. If you would open up to Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to start there in just a few moments. When you think through the New Testament specifically, and think in terms of hospitality, there are probably a lot of things that just generally come to mind when people hear the term hospitality. But in the New Testament by itself, it's always tied to loving strangers. Not strange people, that's not the emphasis, don't go there. Although some of us are strange. But to think of it in terms of to love literally a brother or a sister who is unknown to you very well. Easy applications come in terms of to think of a brother or sister in Christ who lives in another town, another state, maybe even another country, to come in among us and to be able to reach out and to be able to be hospitable. When you think of the way that the word is used in the New Testament, a few illustrations real quick to kind of show you the spectrum of it. Even on the day of Pentecost, if you look at the end of Acts chapter 2, it talked about the 3,000 souls who had received the Word of God, responded, been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, and received the gift of the Spirit of God. All of a sudden, all these people were collected in one place, and they decided that from day to day, they wanted to continue in with one mind, based upon the teachings of the apostles, and they also spent time day to day, from house to house, just breaking bread, just sharing meals together. And realize these people had come in from all over the world to be there for the day of Pentecost. And so if you can imagine what would happen, there's only so many hotels. And even if you go back to the first century, realize how few there would have been. Even if you think in terms of the term hostel, have you ever heard that term used for like a hotel? Not someone who's fighting, but the idea of to take care of, to give food and shelter. It's a very similar idea. We get if you look at the progression of the English word, hospital. What are they to give you there? Food, shelter, and even some medical care. All those things would fall underneath what you see as it goes through in the New Testament, but specifically about food and shelter. There were even some who hated the idea that others were treating brethren this way. If you read through the book of 3 John, there's a man by the name of Gaius, very loving man, one who was very receptive whenever brothers and sisters were traveling through, that he would receive them and take them into his own home. There's also a man at that same congregation by the name of Diotrephes, who hated Gaius for it. He hated other people. And he was such a predominant person that he would cast others out of the church just because they would receive these brethren that were strangers to them. Can you imagine such a situation? But here's what we really need to look at. When you think of the term hospitable, think of loving unknown brethren. Brethren that you just don't know very well. And that can be someone who is here whenever we gather to worship. It can be somebody who's moved to the area and lived here for a little while. Maybe it could be somebody who's lived here for a long time and you just don't know them. They're unknown to you. And you want to share these opportunities together. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. He says, "Let love of the brethren continue." And this word, love of the brethren, is the word Philadelphia. It's all one word in the original language. Think about Philadelphia is supposed to be the city of brotherly love. Well, here's the idea. Let love of the brethren continue. It's a phileo love, means it's something that's shared in common. That's what tells you we're dealing with brethren here. We share a common Father, a common Savior, a common faith together in Jesus. He says, let love of the brethren continue. And I want you to notice the very first thing he brings up when thinking about loving one another because of this commonness that we share as brethren. Verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. He says, what about this love? How is it really showed or played out or made known? He says, don't neglect hospitality towards strangers. And we're dealing once again in terms of these are brothers and sisters in Christ. And to go, will you be hospitable toward them? You might think, well, how would this actually play out? What would be the application of these things? Maybe from time to time you see someone come in at one of our gatherings. They come in and they've traveled. They come through difficult situations. Ever thought about saying, do you need a place to stay? Would you like to come and eat with us? Now, they may say no, and that's perfectly fine. You ever think to extend hospitality to strangers? And then notice how he takes this thought in the verse. He says, not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Sometimes you may entertain folks that you have no idea about who they really are, in a good way. He says, some have even entertained angels without knowing it. This is not that story of, you know, I think one time I did entertain an angel without knowing it. Pay attention to that part. He says, you don't always know what help you could actually be unless you're willing to love one another. Also, as you think about it, the term messenger literally is an idea. The term angel is literally a messenger. Someone who comes with a message. As you start to extend this kind of love to one another, to be hospitable toward a stranger, you may find yourself in some interesting conversations. They come in, brother, sister in Christ, maybe a family, and to be able to share a conversation that you might not receive from anybody else. Maybe at the time in your life, you go through difficulties and you feel like some people have taken sides on certain things and they share something with you and you would automatically assume, well, that's because you've got some kind of, you're affiliated with a side here. All of a sudden somebody shows up and as a part of the conversation, they have something to share with you. And you go, that's straight from the Lord. They're trying to show me something. Here's a message. Because of what it ties specifically to Scripture, an application that we need for the moment. See, the Lord looks at people saying, are you willing to extend out a love that's like mine? Didn't Jesus have a love for the brethren? Don't you see Him extend out of Himself? And if you notice that to say, that's who we're trying to imitate here. He says, so don't neglect to show hospitality to brethren who are unknown to you. You know enough to know that they're one in Christ, they're in Jesus. He says, where does that take you next? Now, look over at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look down at verse 8. Page 1214. 1 Peter chapter 4, look down at verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. He says, above all, keep fervent in your love. Now, this term for fervent is the idea of to actually make a strain. It's an extension that comes even sometimes with difficulty. So whenever you see this idea of him saying, keep fervent in your love for one another, you start to really take the thought to mind. Oh, it doesn't mean it'll always be easy. It might put myself in a difficulty. He says, is there a strain that you're willing to put forth? That's the fervency of this kind of love. And now we're dealing with agape love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's one that's saying, you know what? This may not be the best time for our family. Is there a strain that you're willing to show? Now, I want you to take a pale in comparison thought here. In the love that Jesus showed for us, was there a strain on him? A physical difficulty that he endured? It really pales in comparison to saying, would you reach out and be hospitable to a brother or sister in Christ who's a stranger among you? Because notice where he goes in verse 8. He says, because love covers a multitude of sins. So this is how love responds. Love is not the ever reminder of sins. He says love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that what the love of Jesus did? Covered our sin. Freed us from sin. Notice where this should drive us toward. A natural motivation. The next verse, verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Once again, same word for hospitable that we saw in Hebrews 13. He says, this is a love of the brethren. He says, you might not know them real well. He says, be hospitable to one another, he says, without complaint. You find it curious that he adds that in? You got a complaint? How easy would it be to have a complaint? You turn it around to say, well, how come everybody else doesn't do this? Why are we the only ones? Well, you don't always know what other people are doing. Maybe all of a sudden someone comes into your home, you provide them with a meal, and then all of a sudden you use that time to air out all your complaints against people. He says, that's not love. He says, love covers a multitude of sin. He says, will you just have the men out of the love for the Lord, seeing what He has given for us, even if it comes at a strain and a difficulty at times. If you continue, look at verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, the Lord has given every single one of us abilities in different ways. It's not all the same. He says, but each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another. What's the gift for? This is where worldly thinking can quickly come in. People think that because I have some unique gift or ability or talent, that all of a sudden I should use it for myself or whatever I can get out of it. Spiritually, that's never the idea of gifts that are given. It's about how can I use this gift for the benefit of other people, of one another, within the body. Now, I know because I've had some of your cooking. Many of you are very good cooks. Far better than myself. And yet to understand, do you see that as an ability that you can share? Would you share that out of love with another? Maybe someone else says, yeah, but I don't have that ability. Says, you wouldn't want to eat anything I made. You'd have better luck eating a rubber tire or a piece of cardboard. But you might think, you know, I do have some extra money. Would you use it to take someone out to eat? Would that come at a strain? Sometimes people hear lessons like this and we think, well, nobody's ever invited me out. Is that motivated by love? Or is that about a selfishness? See, love is looking to reach out. You ever thought that maybe you have an ability here to help? As you start looking through, and he continues in verse 10, he says, employed to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look at what God has given you. Look at how He has abundantly blessed you. And it can be in other ways as well. In seeing through these things, there are times where lessons can be learned where you go, you know what, I don't have a whole lot. If I invite you back to my house, we might have to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or maybe we'll just eat beans and rice, something very cheap and inexpensive. If you've ever been invited in that way, someone who you quickly see doesn't have the physical means, but they've invited you in, does that teach you something? Do you learn? If they can have a heart and a strain to want to invite me in, maybe you're even in a different city or town, does it click into your brain to go, maybe I have more than I think? Maybe there's some abilities I have to share that I haven't utilized. Perhaps the manifold grace of God is bigger than I imagined in my own life. And maybe you learn a lesson. Maybe we gain a little bit of humility. Maybe we're a little too proud at times. Someone would invite us in. We say, oh, no, I wouldn't want to go there. Be careful. Just looking for opportunities with one another to get to know each other, to get to share in these relationships with Jesus and these bonds. I hope you've had the experience. Whenever you've traveled somewhere, you're completely unknown to anyone else there, and at the end of the time gathered together for worship, someone extends that hand to you and invites, and you get to know them. And you get to realize we're part of a family that's greater than just one location. We're part of the family of God that spans the entire globe, even being in other countries. Makes you think a little bit different about hospitality. And sometimes just finding someone to share a meal together with is just the kind of grace that we've been looking for. And the grace to extend. Come back to Hebrews chapter 13. Page 1206. I want you to notice the extensions of these things. Look at verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. He says, make sure that you don't let money be the center point of this. He says, make sure that, he says, that you're free from the love of money. The love of silver is the term. He says, being content with what you have. Come back over and would you share even what you have? Whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. Almost thought a funny title would be, are you tired of leftovers? Well, then invite more mouths over to eat whenever it's hot and ready, and you won't have to worry with it. What a benefit. But you start to see, he says, don't let money be what controls this kind of love. Then as he continues, he says, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. What a wonderful thing that is to know it by experience. There was a time we were out on a youth group trip, and we were driving in the old church van down Highway 63, and we had gotten just a little ways north of the town of Licking, Missouri. And in getting there, we swiftly blew out a tire, safely came to the edge of the road, changed the tire, had the spare on, and we were driving into town. And I thought, all right, well, we'll let all the kids here and they can eat. And then while they're eating, I'll go see if we can get this tire thing taken care of. Went over to a little old small, looked like a little gas station, tire repair shop. Went in, told them what I needed, sat on the front bench outside. And about that time, a guy walked up and he said, now you're Cary Terry, aren't you? I thought, man, these small towns are something. And I said, well, yes, I am. And he introduced himself, and he said, well, just so you know, the man that owns this worships with us at the church here. He says, and everything that you need will be taken care of. And I thought to myself, how about that? It wasn't even necessarily that needed any monetary help, but there was hospitality. Didn't have to worry about money. God says, I can take care of that. He says, you're not forsaken. You may think you're in the middle of nowhere. I've got you taken care of here too. We need those kind of reminders. And to not always be the ones who are on the receiving end, but to also be those who are on the giving end of hospitality. If you notice here as it continues, he says, I will never desert you nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to fear being without food for a little while. I don't have to fear being without shelter for a little while. Don't have to fear those things at all. The Lord will take care of me. And will I be willing to be His instrument to step out and help others? You know, right now we kind of have a unique situation. We get to gather together to worship in the mornings. You ever thought about inviting someone over for the afternoon? Maybe for the evening. Maybe a different night of the week. And just to share the time together. Hospitality. It doesn't have to be a whole lot. It could be just a little. And to enjoy those relationships. To enjoy getting to know each other better. There's something different about being in your own home or somebody else's home rather than being at this location. Here, whenever we see each other, it's almost like, well, does that really mean much to some or others? I know you would see me, whether you were here or not, in those terms of just passing each other. But whenever you get invited into someone's home, you're saying, you know, I really do care for you. And it changes the relationship. It changes the conversation. And now there's an extension of love that's been given. Whether you're receiving or giving. And what a unique time that is. But I want to share one more thing with you specifically about Jesus. Look over at the Gospel of Luke, page 1041, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, look down at verse 12. I remember being in college, poor old college kid, and went to a congregation that's probably about 15, 20 miles away from where I was going to school, and went there, and there was this lovely old couple. At the time, I thought they'd probably been married for 50 years. Came to find out later they'd only been married for about 15 or 20. And they invited me and a couple of our friends to come over and eat at their house. They were in their mid-60s. They didn't really have anything to gain by having a bunch of hungry college kids over. And yet, the way they worked together was so wonderful to watch. It's like they could just anticipate each other. I later realized it's because they did this kind of thing all the time. It wasn't their first time to have people over. And yet, to a bunch of college kids, it was an amazing thing. There was nothing they could gain from it, really, other than just loving the relationships. And yet they have both passed on now. They've both gone on to be and to receive the promises that God promised to those who would be hospitable. And I want you to notice just these three verses here out of Luke 14. Look at verse 12. Jesus has been invited over to this Pharisee's house, or at least Pharisees and some others are there. Verse 12, he says, and he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. Nothing like being invited to a place and then telling the one guy who invited you, you know you shouldn't have invited me. Interesting conversation already, isn't it? But look at where Jesus is aiming. He says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, he says, this is the list of people that we normally invite, right? I mean, to go through and to say, well, friends, brothers, relatives, rich neighbors. He says, you need to think out into the terms of love, not what's natural. He says, if you do that, he says, otherwise, they may also invite your return, and that will be your repayment. He says, you extend, and they go, okay, well, next time, whenever we do it, we'll invite you over. That's the way a lot of things happen. And you stop to think about it to say, is that really what God's looking for? Just a back and forth? It's okay. It's not wrong. But I want you to notice where he goes next. Look at verse 13. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. He says, there's your guest list. Invite the people who get overlooked. Ever thought about that? He says, invite the people who are poor that they might actually need food. We're still talking about brethren here. He says, what about if somebody is crippled? In other words, they used to have physical ability, now they don't. Lame, they can't use their lower body. He says, blind, maybe they can't even see. Imagine having someone over to eat who can't see and having to tell them, like the hands on the clock, all right, meats at noon, vegetables at 6 o'clock, rolls at 3 o'clock. It'll take you into their world and maybe you'll see things a little different. Sometimes we're the ones who need the education. He says, invite them. Then, look at verse 14. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This one comes with a blessing. He says, and you will be blessed. Why? Because it is hospitality born out of love. They can't offer you anything physically back. And don't look for it. God says, I'll take care of you physically. Don't worry about that side of this. He says, you will be blessed since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Is that memorable enough for God to take account of? That you would look out for people who don't have the ability? Physically? Physically couldn't see? Physically can't walk anymore? Maybe they used to work hard all the time. Maybe now they can't. They think poor. He says, you do that, I'm going to remember that in the day of resurrection. And you'll be blessed. Which tells you, this is not something of give or take. This is where the love of God takes us. Into a hospitality toward one another. And as you look at it to see, think of the hospitality of Jesus. Little boy has 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's just great. I got 5,000 friends here who need to eat. Who provided? Was it not the Lord? You might just be amazed at what the Lord can do when you step out to love like He commands. And be amazed at what He can teach us as we walk out with Him.